Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
Not much, man. Feeling good. What's up with you?
Hey, man, another day in the life. NBA action has already begun. I ain't even going to start getting into this 75 with people. Like, me and Vinny going to talk about that next week because I feel like I really need to take some time and decide what fights I actually want to engage in. It's one thing when it's like a top 50 list, but, man, a whole 75?
Yeah, that's an impossible task. But, I mean, I'm glad that you got somebody who knows more about basketball than me to talk about that with, because I feel like when I listen to people's arguments about it or read arguments about it, I'm swayed. Like, once I read the argument, I'm like, yeah, you're right. George Gervin does deserve to be in there. And, I mean, the Dwight Howard one is, like, that's the one where it's obvious. Like, that one seems, like, egregious. Like, y'all just don't like that man because he's the real deal. You know, like, that's the only one where, like, there is no argument to sway me and say that he don't deserve to be in the top 75.
Nah, he gonna have to wait for the top 100 because there's no way that Bob McAdoo wasn't in the top 50 except for the fact that they just ain't like him. But then they came around on it, you know, and then he gets in there. Like, maybe that's what the game is. I just say this. I think this is something we can talk about when it comes to lists. It is just amazing that a list works every time. From like the standpoint of like producing content and sharing content with people, a list works every single time. It never fails. And even me, I'm a person who's had to-do list. I'm a person who works in this. And I'm like, man, they just trying to get you, man. You can't fall for that. It's just game. You know what I'm saying? And then next thing you know, they put out that right list, and here I am going for rest of you marks.
It's because it's like this business is about opinions and reacting to opinions, and good opinions that you agree with will get you excited. Bad opinions get you more excited. And you put out a list, it's impossible. Like, there is 1,000 opinions just by putting names in an order, and you are inevitably going to disagree with it vehemently. If you are like a real deal sports fan, you're going to vehemently disagree with it and can't wait to argue with somebody about it, because then you can look through that list and you can find the one that you know is right. Because it's impossible to have a list that is perfect. There's going to be something in there that you are right about. You feel smarter than whoever created this list.
Yep. And then everything, it don't matter. Rolling Stone break out the same concept on a list once every 5 years. They be redoing that guitar list like once every 5 years. They do that and they just shuffle the deck, bridge it over. like, man, I really don't understand how Eric Clapton went from 2 to number 7 and he hadn't put out nothing in no time. Like, how did that go down?
Do they justify it? Like, I'm not a guitar guy, so I don't read the Rolling Stone list, but that seems ridiculous to me that in 5 years you could be changing the list. But I assume, like, the top 5 don't change, right?
No. That can change, too. What they do is they change the voters. And then by changing the voters, you do, in effect, like, change the list. Now, there will be some wild fluctuations, and it becomes very clear after the fact that they then go in and start putting in little compelling pairings, you know what I'm saying, to try to figure out how to get everything right and do exactly the thing. We know that the point is, it ain't to be definitive. They ain't sending nobody no trophies. It's just to get us charged up. It ain't even to make us happy. It's just to get us charged up.
And I mean, I assume, because this is the thing with the NBA, is like, the players today are better than the players of the past, like, objectively. So the list can't be about that. And I assume the same thing is with, like, instruments, is you're building on other things. So, like, you're practicing the licks that this guy perfected when he was 25. You're practicing when you're 10. So, of course, when you're 35, your guitar riffs are going to be better. So, like, that is, I think, the true mastery of some of these lists is you can't be right. Because, yes, you could get a guy off the bench and put him in the 50s, and he going to be the best guy in the NBA. But it don't matter. His impact wasn't the same. And guys, because I'm sure there are guys – not I'm sure. There are guys who aren't on the list that are much better talent-wise and might even have better resumes than some of the guys that are on the list. But you got to understand the context of it. It means more for, I don't know, pick a guy. Bill Russell obviously is the example that comes to mind always, because Bill Russell probably ain't dominating the league at 6'9".
Well, 6'9", right? But like this is where I think it gets to be interesting. So I think about a dude like DeAndre Ayton, right? And who knows, maybe one day DeAndre Ayton makes the Hall of Fame, but that ain't no guarantee. But if we drop DeAndre Ayton off in 1963, we probably think DeAndre Ayton out here looking like Wilt Chamberlain. Uh-huh. However, if we drop Wilt Chamberlain off in 2021, I got news for you. He a lot colder than DeAndre Ayton. No matter what nobody tells you, they were like, oh, man, these cats played against plumbers. That's right. And they were still that iron sharpened iron, and they were still that good playing against plumbers. You drop the cats off here, like give Michael Jordan a new mountain to climb. Please.
That can't be argued. So is the number one – I feel bad because we're doing the – doing the Vinny pod before the Vinny pod. But
No. Me and Vinny's pod are going to be a different one. This is a theoretical pod here.
Okay. Are you comfortable with – is there anything that's crazy egregious that's on the list that you think should be off? Because I feel like that's my thing. It's like I can think of a bunch of people that I want on it. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to think of somebody that I need to take off of.
All right. Well, I'm going to pull this list up, and I'll tell you who I think should not be on this list. And I'm going to be careful about old heads that I ain't really got no context for. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Bill Walton should not be on this list, period. We're talking about a dude that basically played three full seasons of NBA basketball. I do not believe that gentleman should be on this list. And people are like, well, because I'm being adamant about this. Dwight Howard should be on this list. Okay. Well, who you taking off? I can give you a handful of people, but that's the one I'm going to immediately. I ain't know about that whole Damian Lillard situation. I ain't never really thought about him in those terms and in that context. Like, he cool. Mm-hmm. He good. That I feel like this. The critics of Damian Lillard being in on this list, it's a few people who used to play, but it's a bunch of people who play right now. Man, he ain't all that.
Yeah. That's weird, though, because like you hear how much people love Kyrie, and I feel like Damian Lillard and Kyrie, like as a basketball example, are similar. But and I mean, you are more in NBA circles than me. Yeah. It feels like guys want Kyrie on the list, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of those where it's like Melo, where his game is so smooth. And like if you were a ball player, you'd want your game to look like that. And I think that fellow ball players then jump in on this. Let me tell you what I think is an interesting thought about this. It's a whole lot of dudes out here surprised that they did not get on the list. Salty that they did not get on the list. There is not one single person that's like, yo, really? Me? Oh, damn. I ain't even see that coming. That's what's up. What a surprise.
Oh, my goodness.
All them dudes is sitting there like, I better be on that list.
They got, I mean, I know it's not a ranking in order, but they got Kareem at number one because it's alphabetical. That seems right. That seems fair.
Like that seems fair.
Seems just about right. It should be a ranking just because Kareem is there. But they do these lists for everything, including like media people. And I'm the guy, whenever my name is on the list, I'm like, oh, me? Thank you very much. I'm like shocked because I don't even think about something that way. I suspect that you probably don't look at these, but I'm sure someone sends them to you. And if you're not in the right spot, you got issue with the people that's in front of you or behind you.
Well, I tell you, I once made the Route 100. And it's funny because I only made it once. I didn't make it the year before. I didn't make it the year after. Right. This is like, and so what I learned, it was just like, yo, you can't take these lists but so seriously. Yeah. I made the Route 100 and I realized I was ranked below some people I had never heard of. And I was ranked above some people who had never heard of me.
Yeah.
And I felt like that told everything that you needed to know. Like sometimes, like, especially like with the media list and, you know, back when I was under 40, I could get on your little 40 under 40 situation type thing. But it would just be wild fluctuations just depending on what was going on that year. Highly questionable getting cracking. I'm number one on these 40 under 40s. You know what I'm saying? Right. Start doing high noon. I'm old news to y'all now. Now I got to drop like a little lower down the list. I look up above it. I'm like, oh, okay. It's the new people. And I look up and I'm like, okay, there's no way in the world you think that person's better at this job than I am. Oh. You just out here making stuff up. Like this is all these things come down to somebody's just like, yo, we're going to put these things in order and somebody going to look at it.
Yep. Wait till the HBO hit, though. You're going to be number one on all the lists with that HBO hit.
Yeah. That's what they say. I don't know who else HBO going to have on at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm, I always tell people, they do lists for 40 under 40. They don't do it for 50 under 50. Like, you become a lot less desirable on a lot of these things, just generally speaking, after you get some miles on you. Oh, and I forgot. And we'll talk more about this with Vinny. Miss me with Reggie Miller.
Oh, no, Reggie. No,
now, don't
Reggie.
Get me wrong, man. He was a somewhat heroic figure for us skinny cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't really have that level of representation out here in these streets, but yeah, you miss me with that one. How come Ben Simmons didn't make the list? Anybody?
Ben Simmons. I want to see the votes. I want to see if one person gave Ben Simmons
somebody just trying to get in there. I wanted to ask you this about Ben Simmons. I don't know if you saw this. Daryl Morey did an interview yesterday and with the radio station. And Morey basically said he's not doing anything to decrease their playoff odds. So unless he gets a difference maker back for Ben Simmons, he's like, this can go on for 4 years. And I felt like spoken like a man whose office is upstairs. Yeah. It doesn't actually have to be around any of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's the being separated from that, because the legacy matters to these guys. Their careers matter a lot. And I mean, by these guys, I'm talking about people like Joel Embiid. So Joel Embiid is being wronged by Ben Simmons in a couple of ways. And I'm sure he's not a guy who's shy to speak about it. So, like, we're going to remember Joel Embiid for how many championships he wins, how many big time moments he has in the finals. It's just like how with LeBron back in the day when he was in Cleveland. He was furious with those roster they was giving him because he knows 25 years from now, when we make a list, we ranking him, we're not going to be like, LeBron need to be at the top of this list. He need to be the best of all time. I don't care that he didn't win no championship. You see the roster they gave him? That context with time, context erodes. It erodes with time. So I know Joel is smart enough, and the same with Doc Rivers. And frankly, just about anybody on the roster other than the guy who's replacing Ben Simmons, like, this is hurting all of them, and they don't got 4 years. In 4 years, a big man like Joel Embiid, we have no idea what he is going to be. Right now is that championship window. And, right. I mean, I don't think Daryl believes that. This is just posturing, but still.
No, I think you believe that.
Okay. That's one of those Mike Tysons. Everybody got a plan until you get punched in the face. Like, we'll see what happens.
He's terrible at people stuff. Like, I think that he legitimately believes it. And so this is where I think that Morey has this wrong. Ben Simmons don't play for you no more. Like, as of right now, he might be on your roster. He might be on your team. He might be on your bench. He might be in a jersey, right? He don't play for you no more, as evidenced by the fact that he ain't playing. He ain't practicing, right? He says that he don't really feel like he's not mentally ready to play, all of this stuff. He don't play for you no more. So this idea that we're not going to trade him unless we get a difference maker because whatever you get for him at this point is gravy. Because he don't play for you no more. You're not subtracting him from the roster. He's already been subtracted. That's a sunk cost.
It's worse than he don't play for you no more. He play against you right now. Like, no one's going to argue that what he is doing is making you better. I think it's reasonable to argue that having him around, like, is bad. Unless you're going to say that having him around, it gives us all a common enemy. Maybe that galvanizes the team, but generally having a superstar or a star or a big name, however you want to classify him, having him around being grumpy, there's somebody on the roster who's like, man, Ben, they doing you wrong. this is it can't be good for that team. So it's not only does having him around not help you, to me, having him around hurts you. And you know, I'm not much for this like distraction thing, but for those who believe in the idea that these players can be distracted, what bigger distraction than a 6'10 one walking around mopey? Like, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, and the thing is, even if you don't want to think of it as a distraction, he's not a distraction. He's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, exactly. Like, yo, when he shows up, don't nobody like it when it's here. We out here trying to conduct business. He ain't doing it. And at some point, somebody in practice tired, holding their shorts, and Ben Simmons over there perfectly fresh because he just jogging like it ain't nothing.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole distraction thing is, I'm a little like hesitant to call anything distraction because it's just like a term that football coaches use to try to control your life. So like when it comes down to talking about distractions, I mean, of course, everyone has things going on. Like I've been on teams where people like family members are sick and people are having babies and like, yeah, life is full of distractions. Part of being an athlete is being able to like compartmentalize that stuff. We're not being athletes. Part of being a freaking professional is like you're being compartmentalized. But the problem with this is it's hard to compartmentalize it when it is in the compartment. Like it is right in there with everybody else sitting there. Every time you walk in the building and look around, it's either an empty chair or a mopey giant. And them things ain't helpful.
Dog, that is the big one. Like compartmentalize. Now this is where we are right now.
Yeah, like the basement is flooding. That ain't a problem. But if you're standing in the basement, your feet are wet. And
here's the thing that's interesting to me also with the Sixers is that when it went down with James Harden last year, part that we can't forget is James Harden had goons on that team who had had enough, right? Yeah. PJ Tucker was over there, DeMarcus Cousins, and they were just like, hey, man, this got to stop. The Sixers don't have a single person that is the guy to go over there and just be like, hey, man, we done had enough of this.
But it didn't stop for James Harden until they got rid of him.
Right, right. But they got rid of him when it stopped. Like when it got there, that's when they got rid of him. When them cats was like, yo, man, you being disrespectful to us. That's when the move had to be made.
Yeah, but this situation is different, though, because it felt like we all knew that Houston run was over. Houston knew that the Houston run was over. This 76ers run, it's just starting. And so, like, I guess I feel like Houston was fine with getting rid of James Harden in some degree because they knew that window had closed. I'm sure they didn't want him to force their hand, but it was a reasonable thing like we saw with OKC. Like, they were like, all right. Yeah, okay. Our window's closed. Let's move on from this. That's not what they have right here. So you have a guy, I don't have to rehash this, especially not for you, but most of the time when you're getting rid of a superstar, you're going into rebuild mode.
Right.
And that's fine because you're not going to get anything that's going to help you right now. They're getting rid of a superstar in order to make their final push. And like, it's no one who wants him is going to give you anything of value, in part because they see that he doesn't feel like a piece that you can build around.
All right, hold on. Look at this quote from our man Woj. I don't think the Sixers will go 4 years, but I do think they'd go a full year of doing this. See, this is where Joel Embiid got to come in and be like, hey, this has to stop now. Like when I was a kid, the superstar of the team would come in and make it clear, this has to stop.
Yeah, I mean, superstars have that power now. That's what we hear about in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I'm just saying Joel Embiid need to learn that this is what it is. Like, I feel like with a few of these guys, I'm like, hey, man, it's about time for you to put on your superstar pants, go upstairs, and get your coach fired. You know what I'm saying? like this is what it comes down to sometimes. Like, to whom much is given, much is required. And it's on you to go. That man ain't going to lose no money, that contract guaranteed. Sometimes it's on you. That's how I felt about them with Brett Brown. Like, yo, man, which one of y'all go upstairs and get that man fired?
I wonder if this is a dynamic I haven't considered. I hadn't heard people talk about. I wonder how much it matters that they have a superstar GM, too. Like, Daryl Morey's a legitimate NBA celebrity and is, like, a legitimately coveted front office person. And I think you can go up there and maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it's easier to go up and push around a guy or force the hand of a guy who nobody knows, excuse me, or nobody is like coveting. But I feel like also this is a partially about Daryl Morey's ego, right?
Yeah.
He's known as the guy who wins the trade.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's not about to lose this trade no matter what happens.
That's where it is. It's about his ego and the idea that he's the guy that waits around for marks to be in desperate situations to make trades. And that's what he doesn't want to be, is the mark in this case. You know what I'm saying? Who's sitting around ready to make that move. But no, this is about his ego. But I still think that Embiid can flex on Morey, just because in the end, everybody wants this Simmons thing to be taken care of. I can't. Like, I won't say I dislike Morey. That's going a little too far. But I dislike what he stands for, and I dislike his fan club. I greatly dislike his fan club. Daryl Morey is really popular with people who don't actually like basketball. People who somehow think that the general managers and the bean counters and the guys running the spreadsheets are the actual stars of this, are the people who give all this love to Daryl Morey, who to this day still has not gotten a team to the NBA Finals, right? Now, I always give him credit. You ain't never going to have a terrible team with Morey, and Morey definitely kept the Rockets consistent at a point without ever having to do no tank with no rebuild. Like, I'm not trying to act like that man ain't never done nothing good, or that he's not talented, or that he doesn't have a role in the NBA. But, oh, my goodness, all you guys that think that this league is actually about pick swaps, right? You think this is actually about the guys that you scrape off the waiver wire, which, by the way, Daryl Morey doesn't even fully believe. But all you guys who get caught in this idea that the general manager really is a star, that going to that damn Sloan conference is really a thing. If that's you, I hate you. And that is what Daryl, like, who it is that follows all behind Daryl Morey is all them cats, and I can't stand them.
Nerd Elvis. So, I mean... Yeah. I think this is one of those situations that I'm quite familiar with, where the fans are the problem, not the person. And maybe he's part of the problem, but it's about the fans, because Daryl Morey seems, his behavior seems to show me that he fully understands that this league is about superstars.
Yes.
He fully understands that you will do whatever you can to get a superstar, and all this other stuff like this. We frame it as like Moneyball, like we're trying to find all these undervalued assets.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say James Harden was an undervalued asset, but Daryl Morey does not view it that way. Daryl Morey is out here trying to get these dudes.
Yes.
Y'all, these fans that you're talking about are creating this mythology around him outsmarting everybody, which maybe he's tricked a couple rubes here or there, but it really comes down to, he know what this is about. How can I get my guys? And that's why he's not trying to move on Ben Simmons, because you can't give away one of those guys without getting one of those guys back. If he was really this nerd, Elvis, he would find a way to move Ben Simmons for a bunch of little parts that came back in and were more valuable than Ben Simmons. But he ain't dumb. He know he can't do that. He know that he better get Damian Lillard or bust.
Yeah, like, you're exactly right. Like, he is trying to get dudes. He just doesn't realize this situation is over. Like, that's where he loses me and all these other folks lose me is, yeah, sometimes it's over. Like, you needed to walk into this season understanding, hey, he can't come back. We're going to get the best deal we can, but he can't come back. So people talk about, and I don't think that they're full, like, wrong per se on this, but the idea that Oklahoma City got fleeced in the James Harden trade. And what the Thunder got back was Jeremy Lamb, Kevin Martin, who was on an expiring contract, and that part matters because I forget how much money he was making, but that was getting cleared off the books. And then they got a first-round pick, and the first-round pick turned into Steven Adams. But if you go back and look at that draft that Steven Adams was in, he's like the third, fourth best player in that draft when they got him. Like, they got something for James Harden, and what they got was about as reasonable as you could expect under the circumstances. But sometimes you just got to know you're not getting equal value. Like, you can't go bargain hunting at the airport. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to make – you like, damn, I did not bring my sweater, and it is going to be cold on this plane. You going to get hit for that sweater at the airport, dog. It happens.
Everybody knows. Anybody who travels knows you've been in that situation. When you ain't pack enough of something or you forgot your toothbrush and it's 10 p.m., you can go ahead and have to go down to the counter and buy that $6 toothbrush.
But headphones is the one.
Oh, yeah.
Like headphones is the one where it's just like, damn, okay. Because, I mean, once you get used to it, you get used to it. Now imagine where it's like, damn, I left my headphones, but you go forget you, like, you're not gonna have no more headphones for a year.
Yeah.
Unless you just buckle down and buy these headphones right now, or you can go buy them in another airport, but you're never gonna have any leverage on Ben Simmons because all he's doing is explaining to people why you don't want him around.
But he's waiting for somebody to be desperate, right? Like, the whole dynamic changes and I keep bringing up Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard finally is like, I want out.
Mm-hmm.
Then the dynamic changes. Or if something happens with some other team, then the dynamic changes. You need to find somebody who's ready to go into some sort of rebuild or try something different. I mean, the hardest part is he is looking, he's like doing this dance, but he's looking for people who are like him. And like, for it to work, you need to find a puzzle piece that is the opposite of you, like someone who is ready to go into a rebuild. And then it works out perfectly, but they don't have that. You know, that makes sense? Where they're looking for, he's out there. He is in championship win now mode. And anybody who would want Ben Simmons is also in championship win now mode. So you can't find that person. You need to find somebody who's ready for the rebuild.
But you know, the other thing that I find interesting about this with Simmons is that James Harden, we knew where he wanted to go. Ben Simmons has not given us any evidence that there's a place he wants to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you want to be?
Did he say the California teams?
I don't. But here's why I think this is important. There's no guarantee he'll show up. Like, what he's demonstrating to us right now is that he might not show up.
Yeah. I mean, I think people know he'll show up, right? He'll show up because it's not Philly.
He ain't showing up to the job he got.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not unusual. Like, people do that until they get the job that they want. Like, I don't know.
But what's the job that he wants? That's what I'm saying. What's the job he wants? I don't know.
I remember him saying he wanted to go to the California teams other than Sacramento. But I also think that it's not about the place. It's about the job, because the job ain't going to change just because you change your location. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he thinks that going to another situation means that there are going to be different requirements, maybe you end up in Golden State where you really don't have to shoot ever.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like the job is still going to be the same. At some point, if you're going to be a max player, you're going to have to hit some shots, man. You're going to have to take some shots, bro.
Well, I also don't – that's exactly right there. I don't think he understands. They don't respect you in these other places either. Like Ben Simmons, I think, thinks he has a Philly problem. He's got a situation where the dudes that he works with up there think he's a sucker. Incorrect, dog. America think you a sucker. And to be honest with you, I don't know that much about Australia. But based on what I saw in them Crocodile Dundee movies, I think they think you a sucker too. This don't seem like the kind of behavior that they respect.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, they seem like they are not down for any timidity. But I do think that it's important to understand that it's not a location issue; it's like a job issue. Like, the job is not going to change. The requirements are not going to change for you. People are going to still expect you. The things that we expect you to do now, and maybe in a new location, they'll be nicer. Maybe the reputation of Philadelphia fans is accurate. Maybe they'll be nicer about it. But generally, you're going to have to do this. At some point, you need to look at yourself and be like, what's wrong with what I'm doing? Let me address me. And that's going to fix the problem. Moving somewhere else. You can't go to a new school and become a new kid. That's just not how it works.
No. And I would love to hear from two people about this. Rich Paul or LeBron James? Because everybody's like, yo, he's getting bad advice from Rich Paul. No, he's not. There's no way you're going to convince me that Rich Paul is doing anything other than working for his agent. I mean, working for his client, which is his job. There's no way in the world that LeBron James respects this.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes working for your client is telling them the stuff that they don't want to hear. And both you and I don't believe that anyone's told him, or at least he hasn't received the message that I think underlines all of this. And like, we're certainly not trying to psychoanalyze or figure anything out, but like, this is the job. At some point, you got to buckle down and address the fact that you don't want to do the job, and it's not going to change anything. And maybe this ain't the job for you, but this is the job. And Rich ain't telling him that. LeBron ain't telling him that, or he's not receiving it.
Well, that's the thing. I think they might have told him, or the reason they not telling him is because they know that dude, and they like, I mean, you can tell him. You just say it to say that you did. Like, you know that person, right? It was just like, the reason why I'm telling them this simply so that I can selfishly claim when it all comes back around. I mean, I tried to tell them.
Maybe it's not even selfishly claim. Maybe it's partially selfishly claim, but I've been in that situation before. And it's like, it's so you can do the blackjack dealer thing. I did my part. You know, you wipe your hands of it. I did my part. So you know that you can say, when things go wrong, you can look yourself in the mirror. Because I've had friends like that. We've all had this. You can look yourself in the mirror. And I know I bring my kids up on every episode, but it's same thing with my son and my kids sometimes. It's like, kids don't want to listen. They think they know more than you. But sometimes I'm like, look, I've been there. I was 8 once. I'm now 38. So in those 30 years, I've picked up a thing or two. So this is what I'm telling you. I'm not going to argue with you. We're not going to fight about it. I'm telling you how this is going to turn out. Then I'm done. And I step back so that afterwards, I feel no guilt. If whatever happens, happens, and they crying and they're upset, I don't even say I told you so because they know it.
Mm-hmm. Told you not to touch that stove. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stove
That's
hot.
The simplest way to think about it, yeah.
I told you stove hot, right? All right, stove hot. Don't touch that stove. Next thing you know, touching the stove.
I mean, sometimes the lessons stick a little harder when you're learning yourself, which is another thing that you learn when you're raising kids, is that no matter how much logic you present to them, like sometimes, and I think we all understand this, a little bit of discomfort and a little bit of pain, it makes something stick in your memory a little bit longer.
Yeah, the occasional L ain't the worst thing in the world, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I have had many of them in our lives, and hopefully we grow from them. That's another thing. Like, as much as I bemoan some of the ridiculous things about football, football has a lot of great adages in it that apply to life. And one of them is, don't make the same mistake twice. You make the same mistake twice, you can't play here.
I find that a great distinction in life for me really is people who ain't never took no L. It's a little tricky, man.
You gotta learn from those mistakes. And I think that part of the culture of basketball now is you discover these players so early, and their way is paved for them in so many ways. And this is not directly about Ben. It's just in general. And this is just old man talk right now. I feel it. I feel the gray hairs coming out as I say it. It's like the road is paved for you. So you don't learn those lessons. You don't find out what you're made of in many ways because you don't have those difficulties. But yeah, I'm just telling people to get off my lawn right now.
Right, fast. Before we go to our last thing, I just think you'd find this funny as I just saw this. Apparently, Andrea Kramer, who now does Real Sports with Brian Gumbel at HBO, said of John Gruden, quote, John Gruden, apparently they had a producer who cold called Gruden, and he picked up the phone and he said, quote, the truth will come out.
Ooh, we got John Gruden on a vengeance tour.
But I'm trying to figure out what truth he talk about, because the truth already came out, dog. That's why you ain't got no job. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we saw the truth.
I mean, the only thing he could mean is I think this is a crab in a barrel situation, because that's the only truth, unless he's going to say somebody hacked his account. Like, he's not saying that the truth will come out. I'm not what you think I am. He's saying the truth will come out. They all are me.
It's bigger than Nino Brown. That's what John Gruden face all tight. Just telling you now, it's bigger than Nino Brown.
Oh, call Frank Caliendo just to deliver the bigger than Nino Brown line.
Yes, John Gruden. Exactly. You don't want to read the emails. Don't mess up your money. That's cool. We understand that. But can you just drop that? It's bigger than Nino Brown.
They were advertising the return of Peyton and Eli's Monday night. And apparently, I just imagine that they had to cut that part out. They had to cut the John Gruden part out because they were advertising it. I don't know if you saw the commercial, but they were advertising it, and it showed Frank Caliendo doing a bunch of different voices. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there like, what? Really? And I was on the edge of my seat. Is he going to give us a Gruden? I knew he wasn't, but it was pretty fun.
Nah, never heard of him. That's Frank Caliendo. You ask him about John Gruden now. No, that was not who I was doing an impression of at all, actually.
I mean, I'm with you. Lean in on it, Frank. Lean in.
Yes.
By the way, before I forget, as we are coming toward the end of this, but just a thought, there's a distinct possibility that by the time the people get to hear us talk about this, that Deshaun Watson will be a Miami Dolphin.
It's bananas.
Wow.
They know something just we don't know?
Wow.
How old is the team owner? He's like 80-something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. He like, man, we going to get this. I don't care what y'all say about me. I don't care what you do.
He'd have done that when he was 40. Like, I think that I don't care what y'all say about me is really what it comes down to. And so my thing on that is John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who almost feels like a family member to me because John McClain has been a part of my life since I was 7 years old growing up in Houston. Right. If John McClain decided to tell us that this deal is probably going to happen, it's because this deal is damn near about happened. I can only assume that they just running this by the NFL to be like, yo, so what we going to do? How we going to play this? Yeah. How this going to go? That's the only part. I am just blown away that a team would really just be like, yeah, okay, let's go. Like giving up on Tua immediately, which I kind of get, but not really, to go get this guy.
I mean, giving up on Tua to go get this guy from a talent standpoint is a no-brainer.
Yes.
However, it's more to life. And there's more to this situation than just the talent, especially since there's hope for Tua going forward. But I understand you bring in somebody that talented, you become a Super Bowl contender immediately. However, you then draw all the other attention that you don't want. And you not even the attention, like you align yourself with activities that I suspect that at least publicly you would suggest are reprehensible. And that makes me uncomfortable.
They like Miami don't snitch. Like that's the only argument that I, and here's the one thing I will say about that as somebody who lived in Miami for 4 years, as far as Miami scandals go, this don't rate.
I mean,
like this is offensive. Like what Watson did is offensive to America and offensive to the league and all these things, man, that's maybe the fourth page of the Miami Herald. And that would be even if you was the mayor. Every now and then something happens and I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's not a Miami scandal though. Like Miami, the bar for scandal in Miami is just very, very high. That didn't change objectively what we think about what has been alleged. But I'm just telling you, in Miami, nah, it's going to take a lot more to get an expose on this one.
To be honest with you, in most NFL fan bases, I don't think this impacts them. As you know, like I think most NFL fan bases, nothing's going to happen to ticket sales. Nothing's going to happen. There'll be people outside picketing. There'll be exposés written and opinion pieces written, but I don't think that like ticket sales go down. I think that most fans are like privately happy that they upgraded the quarterback position. And I mean, as sad as that is to say, like, I think that that's probably true. It's like Dolphins fans, they're not saying this on the message boards, but I suspect that the Dolphins fans want this to happen because they don't care nothing about any of those other things. They care about what makes them happy, and winning championships is what they want.
Any chance of Deshaun Watson demonstrating some measure of accountability? I'm sure there's an NDA involved in whatever settlements are going to be coming down the pike, I suppose.
According to him, it never happened. Like you can't change that now. Like I think we all, given the sheer number of accusations, we've all been like, man, something happened. If nothing else, I think that he should say something to the effect of, like, I'm sorry for the fact that there was a misunderstanding or some confusion, but,
somewhere there is a middle-aged white man saying, so you're telling me that this guy is all these things I send an email or two and I can't keep my job. John Gruden out here sounding like Saget. You remember Saget? Why is it that when I go to the club, only the ugly chicks want to step to me? That's how John Gruden sounds right now, talking about everything that comes up disciplinary in the NFL. Why is it? Go f*** that.
That's Urban Meyer, too. Well, I guess he kept his job. But
yo. I still can't believe they ain't leave him in London. Like, I don't care if they won that game or not. fire him now because you're going to fire him later. Trevor Lawrence, who's starting to come around, Trevor Lawrence going to mess up and get too good, and they're going to be stuck with that dude.
Trevor Lawrence going to get him fired is what's going to happen. You saw that quarterback sneak thing like that. I read into that. For super Christian Trevor Lawrence, that was a shot across the bow. So Urban Meyer was like, Trevor Lawrence ain't we didn't do a quarterback sneak because Trevor Lawrence ain't comfortable under center. Trevor Lawrence went up there in the press conference afterwards and was like, oh, we practice it all the time. Oh, Urban said that, I'm comfortable under center. To me, that was like, in that situation, you normally like, no, we cool with it. I don't know. It's up to the coach. I defer to the coach. He made it quite clear to me that says, any problems that we are having here, they ain't on me. They're on him. And maybe that's wishful thinking out of me, but it's going to take one or two years of him to get comfortable and him to start playing well before he like, this ain't the dude that I'm entrusting my career to. And they're going to win. Shad Khan's going to run him up out of there.
You know, Urban be a good wrestling manager. I hear they in the wrestling business. Like that's what they need to do. They need to make Urban the commissioner of the AEW. I can see it. But yo, that is Dominique Foxworth. Check him out here always every Friday on Foxworth Friday on the right time. Also, theundefeated.com. Check him out on Debatable. Check him out on Get Up. Check him out on, did I miss anything?
Nah, it just always makes me sad when you go down the list of all the things that I do. Then I look at that direct deposit and I'm like,
Look around that house, partner. You doing just fine. You got a basement bigger than my crib.
False. But that ain't from ESPN. Never mind. Ain't you ending the show?
That's fair. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this three times a week. Gabe Bassain and Dave Presley handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Want some brain injuries? You can have a house.
Fair. Knee
surgeries? Come on, move in.
I had one once.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.